Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, pregnancy-focused chiropractor, Dr. Elliot Berlin. Today, I'm talking to an Italian-American artist, painter. We're going to find out more about that, and soon-to-be mother of two, and her experiences with her first birth, where she fractured her tailbone, and then secondary infertility, and now pregnant, and about to have a kid, Valentina Trentini. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having me.
How many weeks are you with this kid?
38 and a half.
38 and a half. So we have plenty of time.
Yes.
All right. Let's start at the beginning. Where are you from originally?
I'm from Bologna in Italy in the north. And then I moved here like about 10 years ago for work.
Welcome.
Thank you.
What's it like in northern Italy?
It's like a crazy part of Italy because it's like it's not like mellow and chill like the rest of Italy. Like, you know, it's fine. The food is great. The wine is amazing.
I mean, when you say Italy, I gain weight every time.
Yeah, you know.
Just thinking like, about what the food could be like. What brought you to the U.S.?
So 10 years ago, I received a job offer as a store manager for an Italian shoes company. They were opening a new store in LA, so they asked me to manage a store, and I was like, why not? I always wanted to live in LA, and they accepted, and I moved here. I didn't have any friends. I didn't know anyone, and then slowly but surely, I started to meet tons of people, and now I'm here.
Did you meet your husband here?
Yep. I met my husband here in LA at a photography exhibition.
Oh, wow. Okay, and you're also an artist.
Yeah, I'm a muralist and a sign painter.
How did you get into that?
I always been very artistic since I was a kid. And then I went to art high school, and then I became a graphic designer. And then when I moved here and when I was working at the store, I got a little bit bored. So I was like, let me do something more artistic. And I started to learn calligraphy on my own on the side. And then I wanted to do something more and be more and more artistic. And then I find out about sign painting and murals, and that's how I got into it.
It's so amazing to me because I have a hard time with big pictures in general. And it's incredible to me. Like, I couldn't make anything like that even in a small space, but to map it out and plan it and get all that, it's incredible. We're going to have to put up some of your beautiful artwork on the socials when this comes out.
It's very fun. It's very, very fun.
And then how you met your husband is kind of fun. How did that come about?
I met him at a photography exhibition at the Sunset Marquis here in LA. And then I didn't like him at all. I was with my best friend. He was with his best friend. And, you know, he was talking and I just stood up and left because I was like, this guy is not interesting. And then actually a month later, my best friend was like, oh, you need to start dating. You need to download this app. It's called Hinge. It's friend Hinge. Of your friends on Facebook. And I was like, okay, let's do it. I'm not, Italians at the time were not really into dating apps, but I did it anyway. And the first person I saw on the app was him. And I texted him and I was like, I know you. He was like, no, I don't think we know each other, but do you want to hang out? I was like, okay. And then after 5 minutes into our dinner, we realized that we talked a month and a half before and we laughed. And then we lived together and we've been together for like 8 years. So
look at that. Love at second sight.
Yes, absolutely.
That could be a whole book. Okay, so kids, did you talk about kids early on? Was there a decision, this is a good time?
We talked about it like around like a year and a half into our relationship. We wanted to have kids and we started to like try to have kids. And we tried like for like 3 to 4 months, no more than that. And then I got pregnant basically like right away. Never had a problem with that pregnancy. Never had a, like, nothing. Everything was, like, perfect. Yeah, the first pregnancy was amazing.
What was your form of birth control before that?
I took a pill for, like, 15 years, 17 years. I started very early when I was 14 because I had acne, and that was the only thing in Italy that your gynecologist was prescribing you to, like, treat it, and then I continued to take it for, like, 17 years.
Dual purpose.
It was a lot. Yeah, it wasn't that great. I wasn't feeling that good. That's why when I met my husband, like, when I was around 30, 32, I stopped. I was like, this is too much. I don't want to continue anymore.
Was that when you started to have kids or before that?
No, it was before that. It was like, let's say like 8 months, 10 months before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then after that, you said, let's have kids. And then 3 months after that, you got pregnant?
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
like that. So what did you do for the 10 months to prevent pregnancy?
You know, we use a condom. And
did you have regular cycles?
Yeah, very regular. I'm like a Swiss clock.
Oh.
Like, you know, like that's what we say in Italy. So when you're like, you know, on point every month, 28 days, I get my period. And it's, I was getting my period. And it was always 5 days, no matter what.
Wow.
5 days.
That sounds more German than I am.
Yes, you.
Okay. Yeah. So then you get pregnant. How was that first pregnancy?
It was amazing. I was very relaxed. I was very calm. I really, really enjoyed it. I was still working, but I was like going to the pool every day to like do laps. And I really, really enjoyed it. It was very easy. Very, very easy pregnancy.
You sound European.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened? Well, like for birth, did you have a particular plan, a thought on how you wanted it to go? Did you do any prep?
I did because I lost my mom in 2014 and I moved here and I didn't have anyone here. I just had my husband's family. I decided to have a doula to help me navigate through like late stage of pregnancy and then birth and then postpartum. And it was very, very helpful. We decided, oh, maybe let's not get an epidural if I can. Let's stay at home as much as I can until my water breaks. So my plan was stay home as much as you can. Don't get an epidural. Basically go with the flow and see how it goes. But of course, birth never goes to plan.
Okay, so how did it start?
I woke up at 2 a.m., started to have contractions, and actually they were pretty close together. Called my doula, I would say like around 4, because I was like, oh, maybe it's not that bad, you know, like I could handle it. And then she showed up at 4 and she was like, your contractions are very, very close together. Like, you should have called me before. But I was like, I could handle it. No big deal. And then we stayed home until 9 a.m. I was at home until 9 a.m. And then at 9 a.m. I was like, I cannot take it anymore. I was having a hard time breathing and my contractions were not like minutes apart anymore. They were like next to each other. Like
no breaks.
No breaks at all. So I was done and I got to the hospital and I couldn't take it anymore. I was in a lot of pain and I think my body went in complete shock because of the pain. The doctor was like, if you don't want to take it, get an epidural, don't do it because you're 2 hours away from giving birth. But for me, I reached my limit.
Do you remember where the pain was that was sort of overwhelming you?
I think it was in my back. I couldn't in my lower back, I couldn't even stand straight. I think that the fact that I was overwhelmed by the contractions and I was having a hard time breathing, that for me was like a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I started to get scared.
How was the epidural for you?
When they put the needle in, I didn't even feel it. I was like, this is the dream. But then after a little bit, you know, they give you a remote that I could control the dosage of the epidural. And I think I got too much because I was in a lot of pain.
What kind of pain from too much epidural?
When I got to the hospital, the pain was like unbearable for me. And I think that...
Oh, you're saying you overdid it with the epidural because of that?
Yes, I did overdo with the epidural. And I think I made a mistake because I couldn't feel my left leg anymore. My right leg, I could still feel it. But for me, like... my body, because it was in shock, it just shut down. And I went to the hospital that I was 7.5 centimeters dilated.
Wow.
And then my body was like, just shut down. My body was like, I cannot do this anymore. You need to relax. You need to stop. It's just becoming too much.
So labor stopped happening?
Labor stopped. I completely stopped for 10 hours.
Wow. Was that like restful for you at least, like recovery wise?
I could rest a little bit. I was very lucky, if I have to be honest, because I was at the Kaiser Hospital and they offer you a midwife during the day. And my midwife was really good. She was very, 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 very amazing. And she was like, I'm not going to call the doctor. I want you to have a vaginal birth. I don't want to give you a C-section. Because by the time that I got to the hospital, they broke my water like 2 hours later. So I was for a few hours in the bed with my water. So
on the clock.
Yeah, seriously. And then she was like, I have the feeling that you need to be alone for like a little bit. So everyone went out, like left the room. I was alone. I put some music on. I started to breathe. And then around like, well, let's say like 40, 45 minutes later, she came back and she was like, well, you're there. We are almost 10 centimeters. We start pushing now.
Okay. So you didn't need to augment your labor with like Pitocin? It just...
They did.
They did.
It didn't work.
Oh, it didn't even work. So you just had to wait for your body to be ready again.
Yeah.
How was pushing?
Pushing was actually the best part of everything.
How do you mean?
It was easy. It felt very natural. It felt like, okay, I got this. And actually, it felt like 10 minutes. I thought 10 minutes went past and then the doctor came in and I was like, what do you mean the doctor is already here? Like, it's just 10 minutes. They were like, no, honey, you've been pushing for an hour.
Oh, wow.
Like,
okay.
Oh, okay.
Still kind of quick for, you know, first birth.
It wasn't bad. I felt empowered. I was like, I got this. That was really good.
Was the epidural turned down? Could you feel things?
I actually could feel things because I stopped like giving myself epidural like I think 2 hours before.
You stopped adding on.
Yeah. So I could feel it because also the doctor, like when the head came out, left the head like halfway.
Yeah.
So she was like, I'm going to leave her here for like a second because I don't want you to rip. And I was like, okay, we got this. It's fine. And then after a little bit, I couldn't take it anymore. It was like very painful, but that prevented me of like tearing.
From tearing. Like, so you didn't tear or just a minimal tear?
Nothing.
No tearing. Okay.
Not even a stitch.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, let's take a little break because something didn't go exactly according to plan. Let's take a little break and come back and find out what that was all about. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the podcast. We're talking to Valentina Trentini. So you had the baby, pushing was easy, but then what happened afterwards?
What happened like is like they put me in a different room and the epidural started to like slowly like leave my body.
Meaning you start to feel everything again.
Yes, I started to feel everything again. And I was started to feel this like super sharp pain in my lower back and in my tailbone. And I told everyone, I was like, there is something wrong. My tailbone is hurting really bad. And everyone didn't believe me. Not a single person, believe me. They were like, no, you just gave birth. You don't know what it is. No, I know my body and the pain is different.
Can I just go back a second before that? Because you do seem to know your body really well. Some people do more than others, or some people are a little more connected than others. You know, there's a lot of noise and clouding around. So sometimes we're not so in tune. But in terms of your connection with your body, were you like, prior to pregnancy, a healthy person? Did you exercise? And were you like a worker outer? Were you a healthy eater?
I always been very healthy. I always been like a very active person. I was a snowboarder through my teenage years until I was 25. Previous to that, I was a gymnast. And I always eat like very healthy. Like Italians, like, you know, like, yeah, we eat a lot of pasta and pizza, but we're healthy people, you know,
Because you drink a lot of wine.
Yeah, because we think it's
worldwide. Right? I was a gymnast one time when I tried to go ice skating, but that's a whole separate issue.
Yeah, so, you know, for me, it was like, I knew the pain because when I was 18, during a snowboarding competition, I broke my tailbone and I knew the pain. I knew how bad it is and I knew exactly where the pain is. And so I got really upset when nobody was believing me because I was like,
so, but I also wonder, did you tell them that you had a previous tailbone injury and this is what it felt like?
Yes.
And they still weren't buying it?
Yeah, I did. And the thing is, like, I don't think that anyone would actually think that I would break my tailbone during giving birth. It's like those things that maybe they don't.
No, it does happen. It's kind of rare, but it does happen. And especially if you have a previous fracture. And you know what it feels like. Again, you're someone who has always been athletic and in touch with your body. So, like, why not believe you? Okay, so then nobody did anything to help treat it?
No, basically, like, I went to my previous gynecologist and she was like, oh, I'm going to assign you to a physical therapist. But, you know, the regular physical therapist, they don't know what to do. They were giving me exercises and I was like, this is not an exercise kind of pain. This is something different. So I went to like a physical therapist here for like 6 to 8 months and nothing happened. Nothing. I couldn't hold my baby. I couldn't sleep on my side. I couldn't sleep, period. When I was sitting down, I was feeling my tailbone popping in and out, was the worst.
Painfully?
Thing. Painfully. Yeah. And I was hearing it. Like I was hearing this loud pop.
Oy.
So
can I ask a question? When you entered at snowboarding, was there anything specific you did for recovery then?
No. Basically when I went when I went to the hospital, they were like, we can put you a cast from your neck to your knees and just you stay in a cast for like a month and a half. But if not, there is nothing you can do about it.
Wow.
And I was like, well, you know,
I've never even heard of that. That's crazy.
You know, thank you. I was 18, so it was like 20 years ago. You know,
yeah, maybe so you push changed. Through it and just deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we have a better remedy today. I don't know.
Hopefully.
And then the physical therapist that you were seeing here in the US was not a specialist, not a pelvic health physical therapist.
Not a specialist. And I didn't even know. But if I have to be honest, I didn't even know that you can see a specialist for your pelvic floor, for like, you know, that specific area. I didn't know. And nobody told me, not even my doctor told me. And, you know, that's why she's not my doctor anymore.
I mean, not being able to hold your baby, you're such a passionate mama. That must have been really challenging.
It was really challenging because I couldn't do anything. I really couldn't do anything. And then not only I broke my tailbone, but the bone was not in place. So for me, it was like a struggle for 8 months. Then, you know, it's a very hard recovery.
It's such a long time and it's such a painful situation and physically, but then emotionally, those 8 months are the months like, you know, you want to be doing everything for your baby. I'm so sorry. How did you eventually resolve?
I finally decided to take my baby, went to Italy to visit my family for like a vacation for 2 weeks. And I saw this physical therapist and osteopath that she's treating my family from like years. And she was amazing. 3 sessions with her and my tailbone went back in place. Still hurting, but at least it was in place and I could like sit and I could like do everyday stuff, you know, and it was very painful, but it was
What did she do?
So basically she started to massage all the muscles around my vagina because the muscles were so tight that they were holding everything. And
your pelvic floor muscles.
Yes. If I have to be honest, that's the only thing I remember because it was so painful that I just remembered after the 3rd session, I could walk, I could put tight jeans on and bend over and not feeling pain. It was like a little bit like, you know, like I could feel it, but I was not in pain anymore after 8 months.
Right. Those pelvic floor muscles run like a hammock from behind your pubic bone in the front to in front of your tailbone in the back. And when it's super tight like that, pulling so hard, it's very difficult to recover. So it sounds like she went internally to find those muscles and release them manually.
Yeah.
And then you could start to heal.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
That's a specialty, pelvic health, physical therapy. All right, then you recovered. And at what point did you start thinking, let's do this again?
I started to think about it like 2 years later. So we were in during the pandemic. It was 2020, September, and I got pregnant again.
Right when you started trying?
I started trying like even then, like it was like 2-3 months.
Okay.
And then I got pregnant. It always been like kind of easy for me to get pregnant.
But, it's a gift. It's a gift. Everybody has like some things that come easy to us and other things that we struggle with. So yeah. Thankfully at that time it was a gift.
Yeah. Yeah. After that, I had my first miscarriage at 5.5 weeks, which was very traumatic because I didn't understand what was going on.
Okay. So before we jump into that, a few questions, if you don't mind. Number one, you were trying to get pregnant. How did you find out that you were pregnant?
I was taking tests all the time. So
okay. Did you have your cycle back, your German Swiss clock cycle?
Oh, yeah. I started to get my cycle back after my daughter was 5 months. So like a perfect cycle at 5 months.
Wow. Okay. My cycle's been off kilter since the first baby came. The male punctuation is real. Okay, so then you figured out you were pregnant, and you must have figured out somewhere around 4 weeks.
Yeah, because with my first daughter, I found out that I was pregnant with her at 4 weeks because I went to the gynecologist for like a regular like checkup, and they were like, "You're pregnant. We're not checking you."
Surprise.
Like, oh, okay.
Okay.
So yeah, so I did that, and I took a test, and I was positive right away.
Excited.
And very excited because, you know, I always like me and my brother are 4.5 years apart and I wanted to have my kids like a little bit closer in age.
But then you said you miscarried at 5.5 weeks. So about a week and a half later.
5.5 weeks, I miscarried. I found out on a Thursday, on a Tuesday, more or less, like 5 days later, I found out that I was having a miscarriage.
How did you figure it out? Like what was happening?
In the morning, I saw like a little bit like pink when I went to the bathroom, and I was like, well, it's normal to have like, you know, like a little bit of pink in urine, like when you're at the beginning. But I was like, I don't want to, you know, pay too much attention. Went out with a friend. And then when I came back home in the afternoon, I went to the bathroom again. And I was like, this is a lot of blood. I need to go to the hospital right away. And then when I went to the hospital, they were amazing with me. They were super understanding, like very nice. Did all the tests that they had to do. They did also an ultrasound to see if something was still inside my uterus, which was the most painful thing. Yeah, that's how I...
Oh, it's a vaginal ultrasound.
It's a vaginal ultrasound, yeah.
But it sounds like more than physically, it was emotionally painful for you.
It was really because I never expected it, you know? Like, nobody ever really talk about miscarriages. And you also feel that there is something wrong with you. I did something wrong and that's why I had a miscarriage, which is not your fault. But at the same time, you know, everyone always talk about how amazing pregnancy is and how great this time is, but they don't ever talk about the worst part of it, which is like when you have a miscarriage, what you're going to do? You feel very lonely, very, very lonely.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate. I think it's starting to change a little bit, but still so many people have miscarriages. It's sort of a natural part in the early phase. A natural part of having kids. Your body has to figure out, is this compatible or not? And, you know, it sort of puts an end to the ones that aren't going to be compatible or that just aren't compatible and don't thrive. It doesn't mean you did anything wrong at all. And in some ways, it means you did something right. Like if two kids eat something that's toxic and one of them turns green and throws up and the other one doesn't, the one who turned green and got rid of it is going to be healthier than the one who did it, right? They're going to struggle down the road. But it just is not talked about very often. Right now, it's interesting. We just put up on Informed Pregnancy Plus a series out of Australia called You Are Not Alone. And it is all about miscarriage and how lonely people feel and trying to get the dialogue going so that you don't have to be alone when that happens. So you didn't have to do anything surgical there, right? Because your body expelled the baby naturally.
Yeah. Thank goodness, yes.
Did you just pick up the pieces and say, let's try again?
I just think, yeah, I was like, okay, this can happen. It's fine. Let's just like try again in a month, like, you know, like a couple of months and let's see how it goes. And actually a couple of months later, I was pregnant again. And if I have to be honest, we didn't really try. It was like one time and I was pregnant again. And I was like, okay, so let's see how this goes. But we were in 2020, in the middle of the pandemic. And then when I called the hospital, they were like, oh, you can have an ultrasound at 12 weeks. We don't see anyone before 12 weeks now. So I was like, okay, I'm going to wait the 12 weeks. But then I knew that something was wrong because my body wasn't really doing its thing. My breast wasn't really sore. I don't know. There was something off. I knew that there was something off. And then when the 12 weeks hit, I went to get an ultrasound. And the first thing that the doctor told me, which was a nurse practitioner, actually, was not even a doctor. And she was like, well, there is something wrong. You're having a molar pregnancy. And I was like, what are you talking about? I don't even know what that is. And she explained to me that it happens in 1 in 1,000. And basically the fetus is not growing. And I had to have a DNC, like a surgery.
Oy. What was that and like?
I did not understand what she was saying. My brain was just not functioning. And I was like, okay, she said something, but I don't understand. This was the biggest trauma I ever had, which is like seeing in that little computer, all these like roots, what I call them, roots in my uterus. It looked like that a tree was growing and all these roots were in my uterus and it wasn't clean. And it was like pretty traumatic to see, to the point that every time I had an ultrasound after that, I always like looked at the screen in like panic because I didn't want to see that ever again.
Wow.
And then I was supposed to have a surgery 3 days later, but then with COVID again, everything, you know, like we got delayed. And then like 3 days later, Christmas Eve, we got COVID all of a sudden after months of not seeing anyone. And then on Monday, I was supposed to have my surgery. And then what happened is that I had to call the hospital and be like, okay, I have COVID. My husband has COVID. I'm still negative, but I don't think it's okay. It's appropriate for me to come. And they were like, okay, we're going to call you 2 weeks. And I was like, I don't think I have 2 weeks. I feel that there is something that has to be done right now. And they were like, okay, we're going to call you tomorrow. But actually nobody ever did. So a week went by and at 3 a.m. on a Sunday, I started to have contraction like I was 9 months pregnant. And it was painful. I was losing tons of blood. And then in the like at 8 a.m. to 5 hours later, I decided to go to ER. I called the hospital and they were like, run to the ER. We're going to tell them that even if you're positive for COVID, we're going to tell them they're going to take care of you. So I ran to ER. Thank goodness there was nobody. I was the only one in ER. They put me in a separate room. I had 3 nurses and a doctor, which now he's my gynecologist, which is the best person I ever met in my life. And he was like, we need to like give you an emergency DNC because you're in so much pain that 3 doses of morphine didn't do anything. So yeah, so that's what happened.
Wow, that's so intense on so many levels. And also complicated by the pandemic. Did you turn out to be positive?
Oh, yeah. I turned out to be positive. I had COVID. And when he told me you have COVID, I was like, what is going to happen? He was like, I'm going to take care of you. It's just that I have to put you in a different room because at the time was like a surgery room for COVID patients, surgery room for known COVID patients. So that's how it worked at the time. But the most scary part, it was like they took me down to the ultrasound lab and the person who does the ultrasound asked me to stand up. And when I stood up, all this blood came out and I saw her scared. And I was like, oh my God, something is wrong. So yeah, and I was alone, completely alone. Not a single person with me because nobody could come in. So
that's so hard. Not even your partner.
No, nobody. Not
he, had, he was positive anyway, but even if he wasn't, I don't think they were letting them in at that time.
No. In 2020, nobody could go in.
Obviously, you're pregnant now, 38 and a half weeks. Still so heartbreaking to hear. Let's take a little break and find out what happened after that. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the podcast. We're talking Valentina. And wow, after the first time you just got pregnant quickly and had a great pregnancy, a great birth, a rough postpartum, then your first pregnancy was a 5.5 week miscarriage. A couple months later, you got pregnant with a molar pregnancy that's because of the pandemic didn't get treated right away. And you had a very intense DNC. And now you're pregnant and
yep,
everything's going great, but there was more in between.
Yeah. So for 6 months after I got my molar pregnancy, I got checked every month and everything went fine. And then in August 2021, I got pregnant again and everything seemed fine. Even then, like, we didn't even try. It happened once. And, you know, like, all my friends got pregnant, like, oh, it, like, we did it once and we got pregnant. And I was like, well, it doesn't really work like that for me. But actually, that time it worked for me.
Hmm. When you said you did it once, was that like a conscious choice? Let's see if we can get pregnant again.
Yeah. Let's say yes.
Because okay. Every time
let's say yes. No, it's just that, you know, like, we really wanted to have another kid. And we were okay. Like, it doesn't matter if we use contraception or not, because we want another kid. So actually it worked out pretty well. But then around 9 weeks, I got another miscarriage. So we heard the heartbeat at 7.5 weeks and I went back in at 9 and no heartbeat.
Oh, wow. So 7.5, everything was good.
Yeah. And then 9 weeks.
Do they have any idea why?
Gone. No, my doctor was like, listen, because of your age, because of, you know, everything that happened to you, like, this can happen. Like, it happens in 1 in 4 women. And it was like, actually, I have the feeling that it happens in 1 in 3 because, you know, like, in,
they don't always get reported. They don't,
yeah. And so
do you want to say your age?
Yeah, I'm 38. So I was 37 at the time.
Yeah, I mean, pretty young.
Yeah. You know, but I think that for
over 35, I get it. Yeah. But also, I mean, you also have to take into account that you are a super healthy person. So even though your age is over 35, which yeah. I don't think is a magic number, your clinical health profile is very good. Like, you don't have diabetes, you don't have hypertension, you don't have obesity. Like, there's a lot of great things working in your favor. What's going on in your mind at this point? Like, that's 3 strikes, so to speak. Like, I'm just thinking emotionally, like, each time, is it harder to pick up the pieces and try again?
I think that by the 3rd time, I was exhausted. I looked at my doctor and I was like, I'm not even going to try anymore. And I remember him saying, like, you should not say that this happens, but you never know, because after a few miscarriages, like, 80% of the women get pregnant and they have a full-term pregnancy. And actually, he was right. But at the same time, like, when you're in the moment, you're like, everything is happening to me. I'm alone. Everyone is getting pregnant really easily and is keeping the babies. And, you know, it's like, you always think that you're the only person in the entire world that is going through that, which is not true. But at the same time, you know, that's what you feel like, because there is no support available, or you have to really, like, look for it and search for it.
Yeah, it's not obvious, but it's there.
No, it's not obvious.
You know, with your courage talking about it so openly and freely and passionately, hopefully that'll help change that landscape for people.
I really hope so.
Especially since you always change the landscape with your artwork.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. All right. So now you're pregnant.
Yeah.
How did this pregnancy come to be?
This was the hardest pregnancy. Very anxious pregnancy. I have to be honest, like, I didn't enjoy it. I enjoyed from 30 weeks to 35 weeks. I was very happy. Now I'm 38.5 and I'm exhausted, but the pregnancy was very, very, very hard, because it took me 6 months, not that much, to get pregnant again. I went to this fertility doctor, that she's amazing, and we found out that I got hit by secondary infertility. Mm-hmm. Which I had 3 follicles left, and she had the feeling that these follicles were in great shape. So we started this treatment with this hormone that is called DHA.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy, because I had to take pills for 6 months and it took a toll on my body. But, you know, like, everything is fine now. But I think that since day one that I found out that I was pregnant, because the other fun story is that I got pregnant the day before starting IVF. On a Monday, I was like, let me take a test just in case, because tomorrow morning I have to start the medicine, the injections for the IVF, because that's what the route that we wanted to take. And then I was like, well, I'm pregnant. Let me take another test. Well, I'm pregnant again. So,
nobody ever trusts the first test.
I was like, well, if I had another one, I would take it.
I know, that should come as a 10-pack.
Yeah. But yeah, so what happened is that I got pregnant, but since day one, I was like very, very, very anxious. Very
Yeah.
anxious. It was not easy. Again, there's no support if you are just, like at the hospital, even the nurses, they don't know how to talk with you. They just assume that you're the happiest person on earth because you're pregnant, which I wasn't, because I was just a nerve wrack.
Is it different in Italy?
And in Italy, it's different just because we have our doctors since we are babies, like it's very hard for us to like change doctors, especially like the family doctor or gynecologist. You have them for like 20 years until they retire. So, or until you want to change because, you found someone that you like more. But the thing is, my best friend's mom was my gynecologist for 20 years. And she always been the gynecologist. Here, I had to
Oh, wow.
change like five different gynecologists because of health insurance.
So you don't develop that kind of relationship.
No, you're
You
just a
don't know each
number.
other very well.
No, you're just a number. You're just a patient that shows up at 10 a.m. in the office. That's it. You're no more than that. And that, I think, is the hardest part. I'm personally very, very lucky because my gynecologist doesn't make me feel like I'm a number. He really cares about me and really listens to what my body is telling me, and like he listens, and that's the most important thing for me.
So, two questions, because you're going to come back and share this birth story with us on the other side. But two questions. One is, what are some of the things you did to help you conquer the anxiety during pregnancy? It sounds like it was running high. And then the other one will be, what are you doing to prepare for this birth, especially in light of your tailbone injury last time?
Well, I did, and I'm still doing a lot of therapy. So once a week, I talk to my therapist about like all my anxiety because it's like really helping me a lot. Since day one, I wanted to have a good team of physicians and people that could help me. So I found like for me, what is the best acupuncturist, the best chiropractor, which is you, or the best
Oh, thanks.
gynecologist, Like for me, the most important thing, it's like I cannot be in control of this pregnancy, but I can be in control of other stuff. So for me, being in control of like the team that is taking care of me, it's very important for my mental health.
Yeah.
That's for me is the most important thing. And like it can happen that my tailbone is gonna break again, but this time I'm seeing a doula every week and we're doing Pilates together and pelvic floor exercises to like strengthen my pelvic floor even more. And hopefully this time I'm gonna be able to like push in a different position that is not on my back. Hopefully, if I get an epidural, they're gonna allow me to get a walk-in epidural so I can feel my legs and still like try different positions. If not, I need to see what's gonna happen when I'm in the delivery room. But I got my donut pillow just in case if I'm on my back. But I feel stronger and I feel better this time because this time I took all these steps to make my body feel stronger, to make my body feel like, okay, we can do this. It doesn't have to happen again. Let's see how it goes. But I'm pretty positive that this time is not going to happen.
Okay. Well, you've been through a lot, and hopefully, when the pendulum swings in your favor, it swings at least as far, if not further, than when it was against you. And hopefully, have a really beautiful birth and no injury. But now there is pelvic health physical therapy in the US. And I know you're very close to the end. It just occurred to me, though, you might even want to do a visit before your birth, because while you're strengthening your pelvic floor, if it's too tight going in, they could also release it a bit so that you're strong but not tight. And maybe that added layer of function could be helpful for you. All right. I feel super blessed that I ever got to meet you and hang out with you. The energy that comes shooting out of you, just the passion for life and maternal energy, is so inspiring, especially after you've been through all these hardships. So I just
Thank
thank the
you.
universe for somehow crossing our paths, and just honored to play a tiny role in your epic journey here. And look forward to hearing the rest of the story on the other side.
Thank you. Very grateful to
And
have you. And
I hope you get your power back.
thank
You're in
you.
the middle of a power outage. So, Valentina, where can we find you and your beautiful artwork online?
You can find me at Bruschetta Science on Instagram, and that's where I have all my artwork and all
this. Bruschetta just makes me so hungry.
Yeah. That's what it's there for.
I'll check you out. Bruschetta Signs on Instagram. And we're over there too at Dr. Berlin, DocTorBerlin.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got
this episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.